Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. As you might be able to tell, I'm a little under the weather. It's been a long couple days. So this is going to be a slightly shorter show. I'm not joined by anybody because the Lakers just played a home game, and as I've said a few times, that can be kind of tough. A few pretty big developments, though, from the game against the Blazers. One, beating a good Blazers team and extending this current winning streak to four games. They are now, if the playoffs started today, which, you know, they do not, but if the playoffs started today, the Lakers would be in them right now, followed closely by the Sacramento Kings, because of course, why not? But the Lakers wind up winning. So that's going to be the basis of today's conversation, and then looking ahead to Rajon Rondo breaking his hand, what that might do for the rotation. In other rotation news, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope playing well, like that kind of helps the Lakers a little bit, especially if Rondo does miss time. And then, you know, we'll get into some stuff about Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. Oh, and then that LeBron James guy, he's all right, turns out. So today's show is going to be brought to you by Metro Infinity. More on those guys in a bit. I want to start with LeBron, though. To this point, there was a bit of a concern with as it pertains to LeBron. Not necessarily could he dominate. I think everybody kind of knew he could. But like, what would it take for him to actually turn those lights on, right? Like, what would it take for him to put the combination of Viper and Hummer that he is into the next gear? And we kind of sort of saw it. And I don't know if it was a matter of lately he's been shooting the ball a lot better. I think if you count tonight's game, he's shooting something like 50% or something on threes over his last like 35 three-point attempts. So that's great to see. And I don't know if maybe that might be getting him going. He might be whipping himself into shape. It might have been all the speculation with Luke Walton. It might be that Kevin Durant hates the Warriors and he wants to kind of show him, hey, look what we got over here. It could be any number of things, but for whatever reason, we hadn't quite seen it yet today, and it was great to be able to watch that. I mean, for one thing, it's nice to watch somebody who is very good at what they do that thing to the level that LeBron was able to play basketball against the Portland Trail Blazers. He finishes the game with 44 points on only 19 field goal attempts, 13 to 15 from the line, 5 of 6 from 3, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He winds up only being a plus 4, though, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a bit, especially as it pertains to Lonzo Ball. But he's ridiculous. He's a walking, talking machine when it comes to basketball. And he was picking the Trailblazers apart. And more importantly than some of the things he was doing offensively, though obviously 44 points on 19 shots in year 16 of his career is effing bananas. But I thought the effort that he showcased on defense, obviously everybody's going to point to the play where he blocked Nick Stauskas at the rim, which also, like, usually on after games we talk about the funniest thing from the game. It has to be Nick Stauskas. Like, just Google Nick Stauskas. You could just say the name out loud. Some dude named Nick Stauskas thought it was a good idea to challenge LeBron James at the rim. It turned out exactly as you would expect. LeBron obliterated him, and I don't think we ever saw Nick Stauskas, or I'm not sure we might ever see him again moving forward. But that was incredible. The amount of confidence it takes to do that as a dude named Nick Stauskas, that's just my favorite thing. I'm not sure I'm going to see a funnier thing this year, to be completely honest. And I'm bummed that there isn't somebody next to me to just sit here and laugh about this for the next 30 seconds. But we can do that next time. that Nick Stauskas challenges LeBron James at the rim. I'm going to take a quick second here. Like I said, this is going to be a slightly shorter show just because I want to save as much as I possibly can for Pete, and also because, quite frankly, I have my head feels like it's the size of Nick Stauskas's. But today's show is brought to you in part by Metro Infinity. They're located at 821 East Central Avenue in Monrovia, California, right off the 210. Think about how baller a move it is as a car company to name a car or an entire line of cars after the letter Q. Like, that's an amount of flexing that Nick Stauskas would be proud of. And they live up, like, they live up to how cool that it's basically they're naming all of their cars cool. And basically, they live up to them. I love the way that all of them have looked. As a kid, my favorite sedan growing up was the Q50. And I remember what I hopped into Harrison's car one time, and it happens to be the car that he was driving. And I thought to myself, Harrison isn't quite cool enough for this car. But if you can pull it off, you can pull it off. And if you think you can, or if you want to give it a shot, or you want to try out any number of their line, go check out Metro Infinity. You can look at their entire inventory on MetroInfinity.com. You can give them a call at 626-599-7510. That's 626-599-7510. And if you go and you check out their brand new multi-million-dollar facility and work with the people who have been there now for over 25 years and mention Locked On, they will give you $500 back on your purchase. They'll knock off $500 off your first purchase or your purchase there. And that's Locked On Lakers, Locked On Rams, Locked On whatever. So go check them out. MetroInfinity.com or Metro Infinity off the 210 in Monrovia. We're going to take a quick second here and come back and keep talking about the game. And we're back. So I want to talk in this second segment, and I'll keep alluding to it over the course of the rest of the show. I want to start before we get to Rajon Rondo specifically and how the Lakers might have to deal with his broken hand. I wanted to talk about Lonzo Ball, and I mentioned plus minus in passing when talking about LeBron. And as I've said a few times now, the times that I pay attention to plus minus with individual players on individual nights is when it's the highest or lowest of a team on any given night. And especially in blowouts, like if a team blows out another team and you're still like a minus five, then you aren't really approaching the game in the right way, right? But for the Lakers, and especially in a night where they won fairly handily, down the stretch their offense kind of went to crap. That wasn't very good, and they got back to a lot of the same things that I really don't like saying, where LeBron passes to Ingram and Ingram looks back at him like, well, should I go? Okay, I guess I'll go. And then Ingram's not able to create himself a shot, and the Lakers wind up having to force something ugly late in the shot clock, and I just they need to clear that up. At multiple times down the stretch, Jen looked up and goes, "What are they running? What are they doing?" And she was 100% right. I had no idea what they were doing. But on a night, though, to get back to the point I was making, on a night where LeBron goes for 44 points on 19 field goal attempts and 10 rebounds and 9 assists, the fact that Lonzo Ball had the highest or tied for the highest plus minus of anybody else on the team or anybody on the team, he was at a plus 7, LeBron was at a plus 4, KCP tied him at a plus 7. But given what Lonzo was expected to do, and he spent a lot of time on Damian Lillard, and he spent a lot of time just kind of running around and creating havoc defensively, that's the kind of game that the Lakers need to have from him. And it's going to be all the more important now that Rajon Rondo is hurt. And I had some people after the game kind of mentioning, well, it might be a blessing in disguise. Luke can't lean on veterans at this point. One, you'd be surprised. I don't want to give Luke too much credit at this point, because he's still rolling with the same starting lineup, and he still hasn't managed a way to stagger his other lineups. So I'm not gonna give Luke the benefit of the doubt for too much here. But for Lonzo, let's take a look at Damian Lillard's line. He plays 38 minutes, scores 31 points. All right. But he takes 23 shots to do that and did a lot of his damage when other guys were on him. And one of the things that's going to be interesting to see here, especially as the Lakers go up against really good scorers like Dame or CJ McCollum and some of the other ones around the league, is with just about everybody else, they really try to switch. But I really have noticed that Lonzo does a lot to try to fight over a lot of these screens on ball. And I think that's because usually Tyson Chandler or JaVale McGee, you have to go into drop coverage with those guys, and you can't have those guys guarding Damian Lillard and Steph Curry and whatever in drop coverage or in switch coverage. So Lonzo is asked to do a lot, but it'll be interesting to see if when teams adjust and maybe start running Lonzo off of off-ball screens, and that's where the Lakers usually tend to switch, is on off-ball screens, that Lonzo might be told to stay at home a little bit more. Or the other thing too that Portland did against the Lakers last night was they went to a lot of back cuts, and it's hard for me to explain this over the airwaves, but basically when you are going to switch, if you go through a back cut, what might happen sometimes are both defenders wind up being with having their back turn to the ball, and that's how back cuts will hurt you. And Portland utilized the back cut quite a bit. I mean, they still scored 117 points, though the Lakers in the half court had a defensive efficiency or a defensive rating at 88, which is really good. But for Lonzo specifically, it's good that it seems like he's getting his legs under him, and hopefully now that there is no chance whatsoever, because Rajon Rondo is hurt and will be hurt for the next month, that hopefully Lonzo gets back to consistently playing the type of defense that makes him an effective player, that makes him the kind of player that everybody points to and says that guy should be playing more, right? Lonzo still played 32 minutes, which is about right. Rondo played 16 minutes, and look, I think it's perfectly fair to wonder if Rondo doesn't break his hand, does Luke finish the game with him? And hopefully over the next month, and you never want to see guys get hurt, but hopefully over the next month, Lonzo does what Pete and I have been talking about, and to use Pete's analogy, between a championship fight, the challenger has to really show that they're the guy in that fight. And hopefully that's what Lonzo was able to do over the next, 4 to 6 weeks or so. I'm going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about ways that Luke Walton might make it work with Rajon Rondo out. All right, so we are back, and as I have said a couple times now, Rajon Rondo breaks his shooting hand, which is a real bummer, because usually when you break your opposite hand, if Rondo was to break his right hand, or no, if Rondo was to break his left hand, he would be able to still kind of sort of work on shooting and do that kind of stuff. But with it being his shooting hand, it's going to be in a cast, and he's probably not going to be able to do too much. Fortunately, though, if you are going to break something, you would prefer it to be in the upper extremities, the hand, the wrist, or whatever, because that allows you to still condition. Rondo can still go out there and run and do all those kinds of things. So at least there's that. But for the Lakers, though, they have a couple questions here. And fortunately, it seems like one of them is kind of answered, or might be potentially answered, starting tonight. And we'll see if it continues as a trend moving forward. But KCP, as I mentioned earlier, was tied with Lonzo Ball for highest honors in plus-minus. He goes for 13 points. He hit 3 of 4 three-pointers. And he's the kind of guy who, who allows his offense to determine how hard he's going to play on defense. So we saw him, because he was hitting some more of his shots, he looked a little more effective out there defensively. The Lakers haven't looked very good this year, to be quite frank, with no point guards out there. So I don't think the Lakers should really lean on those kinds of lineups very much. They do have options. They can play Alex Caruso for some stretches, though I highly doubt they wind up doing that. Luke very rarely extends his rotation unless he absolutely has to. So my guess is what winds up happening is, well, for one thing, Lonzo's minutes get extended a little bit. We do know that Luke likes to play guys longer if he thinks they're capable of that type of workload. I think we start to see a lot more of Brandon Ingram playing some point guard. We might see some lineups with both Josh Hart and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out there, and say like LeBron and Kuzma, and then one of Tyson Chandler and JaVale McGee, those types of lineups to match up defensively if they're going up against, say, a bigger point guard on any random night. But at the end of the day, what this means for the Lakers is we knew this was going to happen. I mean, they weren't going to make it through the entire season without any injuries or without anything like that happening. And so it's time for them we are now officially kind of sort of in the NBA season. This is kind of where it starts, where you have to start jumbling lineups, you have to start jumbling and mixing up workloads between players. Tyson Chandler also got kind of dinged up over the course of last night's game. He already had apparently a contusion in his chest and then was hit in the exact same spot. That would really suck. As somebody who used to box, like, those rib contusions, those rib bruises are awful. It makes it feel like you can't even breathe, really. You try to take a deep breath and everything hurts. So we'll hopefully that doesn't continue to linger. Also, I would imagine that Tyson Chandler has a higher pain tolerance than me, so that's also worth noting as well. But at the end of the day, though, what it comes down to for both Lonzo Ball and for Brandon Ingram and for guys like Josh Hart or KCP is it's time to step up. And if they aren't able to, and I hope it doesn't come to this, but maybe you'll see some more Lance Stevenson point guard lineups, or maybe they'll have to extend LeBron's minutes over the course of the next month. Though I really don't think it'll come to that, because I think that would be really short-sighted, especially with the Lakers playing pretty well. And the other thing too here is their upcoming schedule is such that they can kind of sort of go on a run. Their schedule really opens up. So let's look at that. Starting with Saturday, they go into Orlando, and then they play at Orlando, and then Sunday is a back-to-back against Miami, so that might be kind of tough. You have then they go into Cleveland, and I would imagine that might be kind of a tough game because of the atmosphere that they're going to see there. But those are all, like, if we're counting those as tough games, right, that's not because of the team that they're necessarily playing against. It's because of the situation around the game. So, like, if you actually look for tough teams that they're going to be playing, they probably won't see one again until next Friday. And that's when they play Utah at home. Utah had just finished losing to the Dallas Mavericks by 50 points. Then they play Orlando at home. And then they play at Denver, which is always a tough game because of the altitude and all of that. But still, Denver has lost four straight at this point. Dallas, whom the Lakers have already beaten. Phoenix, whom the Lakers have already beaten. And then they play the home and home against San Antonio once again. And you can just see, like, if you compare this stretch of games to what the Lakers have had to deal with to this point, like, this is a stretch where they can really kind of go on a run. That's why it makes it all the more disappointing that they wind up losing a pretty important part of their rotation. But if there is a player from the rotation that the Lakers could maybe overcome their absence with, it might be Rondo. I would not like to see what the Lakers, well, obviously without LeBron, but with either, if either Tyson Chandler or JaVale McGee get hurt, like that would put the Lakers in a much worse spot than they're in right now. So they do have plenty of reasons, and we do have plenty of reasons to feel like this winning streak can continue, or that they can continue to play this well even with Rajon Rondo getting hurt. But you'd still much rather, for first and foremost, on a personal level, you hate to see professional athletes get hurt for our entertainment. But then for the Lakers as a group, not having Rondo out there as a leader on the court in some of these minutes where you do kind of need somebody to recognize what the Lakers need to do and make more of those point guard or veteran plays that Luke Walton likes to talk about, not having him out there to do some of that that's going to be tough to overcome. On the other hand, though, as you guys have pointed out, maybe this helps Lonzo recognize and start playing more consistently. Maybe this helps Luke and LeBron now that they're forced to have Lonzo out there for longer stretches of the game or as these games close. Maybe both they and Magic will all come to terms and recognize, oh wait, yeah, that's right. This is a really good basketball player, and they'll adjust and be more open to playing Lonzo down the stretch of these games as well. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Like I said, sorry, this is going to be a shorter one because you guys don't want to listen to me like this more anyway, really. I'll be back at it again tomorrow with Pete. And we'll talk about what he thinks the Lakers should do and we'll get us ready for an exciting weekend where the Lakers might be able to continue their winning ways and maybe move up the Western Conference playoff picture as it's in its early formation right now. Maybe he and I can go into the Kevin Durant stuff as well. We haven't really opted to do that too much. There was that report from Stephen A. Smith that Kevin Durant is looking at the Knicks and the Lakers and that the Lakers have the lead, quote unquote, in that regard. Maybe we'll get to some of that. If you guys want to hear some of that, let us know either on iTunes or in our mentions and we'll talk about that. But have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.